ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
पश्यन्ति तत्त्वमात्मनः वदन्ति चैथाट्कवयो यथारुषम् सुमे मुकुन्दो भगवान् प्रसीदताम्।
It is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna who gives liberation by thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities. The devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me.
Krishnatvadiyapadapankaja panjarantham adyayvameva sattu manasarajahamsa prana prayana samaye kapavata pitai kandavarodhana vidho smaranam kutaste.
My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down into the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? There is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus stem. So the comparison is very appropriate. Without becoming a swan or paramhamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, the mental speculators, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators. And because they cannot enter into the network of the stem of the lotus feet of the Lord, all mental speculators differ in conclusions. And at the end, they make a useless compromise by saying, as many conclusions, as many ways, according to one's own inclination, yatharucham. But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in their mental speculatory exchange. The Lord is what He is, the absolute personality of Godhead, and He demands absolute surrender unto Him only. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent via medium of a bona fide spiritual master, anupashyanti. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Therefore, there is no difference of conclusions amongst the Vaishnava acharyas regarding the Lord and His devotees. Lord Chaitanya asserts that the living entity, Jiva, is eternally the servitor of the Lord and that he is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This tattva of Lord Chaitanya is shared by all four sampradayas of the Vaishnava school, all accepting eternal servitude to the Lord, even after salvation. And there is no authorized Vaishnav Acharya who may think of the Lord and himself as one. The humbleness of the pure devotee who is 100% engaged in his service puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything. Because to the sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself as stated in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord, being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, favors his devotee with proper intelligence so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. He reveals himself to a devotee when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Shukadev Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory, as many ways, as many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. beautiful verse from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Sri Krishna is being offered this prayer that by thinking of your lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, a devotee enters into the trance of love of God. By our own whims, there is no access to the absolute truth. But unfortunately, most practice of religion in this day and age is simply on the basis of our whimsical feelings, our whimsical ideas, or accepting such ideas from others. Therefore, it is said, Mahajano yena gata sapanta, that the only way to know the truth is we must become very humble, very submissive, and we must follow in the footsteps of the great previous acharyas. And for this reason, even when the Lord himself appears in this world, he accepts Guru Parampara just to set the proper example to all others. Yad yad acharati stestas tad tad evetaro jana sayat pramanam kuru te lokas tad anuvartate. What great men do, common men will follow. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared, particularly in this age of Kali Yuga, as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted one of the four great Vaishnava paramparas simply to set the precedent that anyone who is not in one of these paramparas and who is accepting the conclusions of them may attain great knowledge, may attain great mystic siddhis, may attain elevation to heavenly planets, but cannot enter into the pure loving devotional service, which is the highest goal of life. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this purport that amongst all of the great acharyas, there is actually no contradiction, there is no conflict. Although according to time and circumstance, there is obviously going to be difference in details in an approach. But the basic principle that we are all the eternal servants of the Lord. We can never become God. We are never the enjoyer. We are always meant for his enjoyment. And that one supreme absolute truth can appear in many, many forms, in many ways, at many times. And all the great religions of the world are simply, according to the capacity of those people, trying to approach the Lord with love and devotion. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. It is only by bhakti, it is only by love that we can know Krishna in truth. There is no other way. We can follow the yogic practice and we can become very pure and very cleansed in our mind and senses. We can even free ourselves of all gross and subtle material desires. And in that state, we can become extremely learned. We can become extremely in tune with the atmosphere. We could be able to read what is the past, what is the present, what is the future. We could read people's minds. We can prophesize. We can perform miracles. But you cannot know and love God. Only through bhakti. Only through humility and service does the Lord reveal himself to his devotee. And therefore, a sincere person on the path of real transcendental life cares nothing for anything else except humility and service. If someone can perform great miracles, if someone can create a planet right before our eyes, a devotee is not impressed. Why? In Siddhaloka, which is a material planet, filled with hundreds and billions of material conditioned souls. Everyone in this Siddhaloka has all the eight mystic cities in full. But they have no access to love God unless they become humble servants. If a person can speak very, very eloquent, incredible philosophy and logic, a devotee is not impressed. If a person can prophesize the future and definitely it comes true, a devotee is not impressed by that either. It is all material. It is all a material acquisition. No material acquisition can attract the Lord to reveal himself to us. And if people put on great, great performances of being great lovers of God, the devotee is not impressed. The common man is impressed by eloquent speakers, by mystic yogis and magicians. People are very impressed by people who put on demonstrations of love and ecstasy. The devotee just, they are on their platform. We offer all respects to all living beings. We should offer all of our respect to everyone in every situation of life. A devotee must be well-wisher. But as far as what we are attracted to and what we are impressed by, only two things: humility and service. One who has a service attitude, one who has bhakti. What does bhakti mean? Devotional service. It doesn't mean trying to enjoy Krishna. It means giving one's life to be enjoyed by Krishna. Such a humble and sincere devotee will definitely, without doubt, attract Krishna's divine grace. And for such a soul, Krishna reveals himself. We can never attain Krishna consciousness. Ragadveshiva muktaistu vishayan indriyaishtaran atma vishayav vidheyatma prasadam adigachchati. But by strictly, humbly accepting the word of the previous acharyas and living by their instructions, that humble effort of service attracts the complete mercy of the Lord. And by that mercy alone can one be removed from all the attractions and aversions of this material world. Because factually, elevation to higher planets, big, big knowledge of scripture, mystic powers, intuition into the astral plane, they are all material acquisitions. No material acquisition can give us access to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Only surrender. Only submissively accepting the conclusions of the authorized previous acharyas and living by them. A advanced devotee cannot think that he is advanced. Because as soon as you think that you're advanced, then you have no need for Krishna. A devotee always considers himself helpless. The most fallen. And to such a soul, Krishna becomes purchased. The supreme absolute truth becomes the humble servant of such a devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful story. It describes, after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling for many, many years through the various states of South India, without discrimination, just giving everyone the opportunity to chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a very clear idea of the power of God. You see, as a jivatma, even empowered by the Lord, a person can distribute pure love of God to another. But when God Himself comes, He performs such activities of mercy that no one can possibly imitate ever. Even the most empowered Paramhamsa Acharyas never even dare to imitate what the Lord does Himself. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, His power of love was so strong that anyone who heard Him chanting, anyone who heard Him, would immediately start chanting and dancing in divine ecstasy.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Anyone who heard the Lord, anyone who saw the Lord, anyone who even saw the footprints left behind by the Lord would become a pure devotee of the Lord. Completely liberated from all material entanglements with love of God just bursting open from the core of the heart. And it is described that He empowered such souls that when they went back to their village, they were completely intoxicated with Harinam. They would just come back to their village just completely oblivious to material life, calling out,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And anyone in their village that saw them, like a contagious disease, they immediately contracted that disease, and they started weeping in love of God, chanting the holy names,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And when those people would go back to their homes, or if someone was visiting that village and went back to their village, anyone who would see him or hear him chanting,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
In this way, everybody who either directly or indirectly had any association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his travels and preaching in South India became a Paramahamsa, pure devotee of the Lord. That is the power of God. And even the greatest Mayavad, Prakasananda Saraswati, he was completely averse to Vaishnavism. He thought that bhakti was just something for children and housewives. Women, he thought, he said, they cannot understand philosophy so much, so it's good for them. But we are staunch philosophers. And this Chaitanya, we have heard about him. He has come to Varanasi. He will not attract anyone here. We are learned Vedantists. We are not inclined towards such sentimentalism and fanaticism. But when he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw his beauty, he naturally was attracted to render some service to him. And after rendering service, his heart opened up and he could hear the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and within one meeting, he was out in the streets dancing and chanting the holy names,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And all of his 10,000 sannyasi disciples all became pure devotees of the Lord, dancing and chanting in the holy kirtan. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan through the Jarikanda forest, as he was walking, not walking, dancing. These are dark jungles. There are no such jungles today.
hundreds of miles of just jungle. People feared lions, tigers, snakes, leopards, wild elephants. Mahaprabhu would be dancing through the forest. His servant was very much afraid. A tiger was sleeping on the path, Bengali tiger. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his foot and placed it on the tiger's head and said, "Wake up and chant the holy names, Hari Hari." And the tiger leaped up in the air and started chanting, "Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!"
And then the tiger was crying in divine love. And then he came to a place where there was a lake of water, and he went to go in the water to chant his Gayatri mantra, Sandhya mantra. And at that time, a herd of the most dangerous animals in the jungle, wild, mad elephants. Lion, tiger, they will kill one or two people. But a tiger will destroy an entire village, a herd of elephants. A herd of elephants will just come and just like riots. It's like here in Bombay, these communal riots. Elephants are much more dangerous than rioting people. They just come into a village and they just, there's nothing left. They just knock down all the huts, all the buildings, anybody there, they just get squashed to death. Communalism amongst elephants in the jungle. They're very most dangerous. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw those elephants, they came to drink water. He started splashing them. And as he was splashing them, he was saying, "Chant, Hari Hari." And what did they do? They all started going, "Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari
Hari!"
And they started rolling in the ground in transcendental love. And he continued his path. And on the way, there was tigers and deers who are usually enemies. You know, there's just certain natural orders of life that are inimical toward each other. The tigers eat deers, and therefore the deers are very much afraid. But when Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting through the forest, he saw these tigers and deers, and he just looked, and he turned toward all of them. They were just all looking at him. They didn't even notice. The deer didn't even notice that there were tigers right next to them. They were so enchanted by Mahaprabhu's beauty. And the tigers did not even notice that their dinner was right next to them. They were so much enchanted by the grace of Sri Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu said, "Chant, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!"
And they all began to chant, "Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!"
They raised their arms and started dancing. Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And they became so intimately loving toward each other that they began to embrace, and with their lips they began to kiss each other. Not out of lust, but out of divine love. This is the power of when the Lord appears on earth. So however great of a devotee we are, only a crazy fellow would think we can be God. Therefore the greatest Paramhamsa acharyas, they cannot imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can preach the absolute truth, and they can make you a pure devotee. But when the Lord appears, he performs super excellent activities to attract everyone's mind. Therefore, the real acharyas simply say, "You see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's the one you should surrender to, not me, him. I am his representative. You surrender to his mercy coming through me, but you know that he is the supreme. He is our Lord. He is our master. He is the supreme object of all love."
The devotee of the Lord never thinks he is the supreme object of anyone's love. He is simply humbly distributing Lord Sri Krishna's love to the world, accepting on behalf and giving on behalf. And such empowerment, such divine grace, can only come through a person who has accepted these two principles as the all-in-all of his life or her life: humility and seva. Therefore, devotees, they will offer their billions and trillions of dandavat pranams to anyone who is accepting such a position. Why? Because he knows that such a person, the Supreme Lord himself, the absolute power behind everything, becomes the humble servant of such a devotee, bhaktivatsal. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through South India and he converted hundreds of millions of people to the path of pure bhakti. And then he returned after many years to Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, where his devotees were cast into the grief of separation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he returned, it was like the monsoon rains coming after a very hot and dry summer. It just brought life to the hearts of all of the Vaishnavas. And they all came to meet with him. And the loving exchanges are so wonderful. How the devotees presented themselves before the Lord. Sri Advaita Charja, Nityananda Prabhu, Vasudev Dutt came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to see Vasudev Dutt. He said, "My dear Vasudev, you know, your son, Mukunda Dutt, has been a very good friend of mine ever since my early childhood. We were classmates. But I have more affection for you, although I hardly know you at all until recently." And thus, he was just showing his love for this devotee. And the devotee, he didn't think, "Oh, you are showing your love. I am so great. Just see, I am getting special mercy. How great I am." "Ah," he said, "my lord, no, not like that." He said, "Actually, my son had your mercy so many years before me, and it is by his grace that I understood about you. Therefore, I am nothing. My son is my superior. I accept him as my father." The father becomes the son of the son out of humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to praise Shivananda, saying, "What a wonderful devotee you are. How glorious that any Vaishnava who even sees, any person who even sees you becomes so purified." And Shivananda Sen replied, "My lord," he said, "that the fact that you have showed your mercy to me is the evidence of your greatness. Because the greatness of mercy is in proportion to how low it can go down to deliver. Mercy is like water. It is always looking for the lowest place possible to settle." He said, "I am the lowest. I always was and I still am the lowest amongst beings. But your mercy has come to my level to give me your love. This is your greatness, not mine." And Murari Gupta, he was hiding. Mahaprabhu said, "Where is my Murari Gupta?" They all put him forward, said, "Here he is. He's hiding." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him. He said, "No, no. Why are you hiding?" "Because anyone who even sees me becomes sinful by seeing me." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just took Murari Gupta and put him on his own lap and started rubbing his body. And he said, "Anyone who sees you or touches you becomes purified of all material desires and gets Krishna's mercy." And then from a distance, not in the building, but outside on the road, laying in the dirt, was Haridas Thakur offering his pranams, just laying there, offering prayers.
Dandavat pranams, like this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, where is Haridas? Here you see, he's out there on the road, laying in the dust and the dirt, offering his pranams to you. He said, get him. The devotees came out. Haridas, Mahaprabhu wants you to come. He said, no, I am so sinful, how can I come? Because he's living very close to the Jagannath temple. I have no right to even go near the temple. I am contaminated. I am untouchable in every respect. So Lord Chaitanya, after greeting all the devotees, he personally arranged for all of them to have nice residences because they were coming from so many parts of Bengal and Orissa to visit him. He took special care. You were Kashi Mishra, you arranged places for them, nice places. Vani Nath Rai, you arranged nice prasad for them. After they were all directly, personally served by the Supreme Absolute Truth, to have a nice place to stay, to have nice prasad, to have all comforts while they were living there. Then Mahaprabhu went out to the road where Haridas was still laying in the dirt. He said, Haridas, why don't you come? Haridas said, no, my lord, I cannot come. I am very sinful. I am very fallen. I should not go near the temple, nor should I come too close to your devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, how can I fulfill your desire? Whatever you desire, the Lord must fulfill. He said, just give me a solitary place where I can chant your holy names. Somewhere where I will be able from a distance to see the temple of Jagannath and witness your divine pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Haridas, although you were born in an untouchable family, aho bata swapacho togariyam yad jiva grevartate nama tubyam te pasta paste ju hubu shashnuarya brahmanu chura nama granan yete. He said that at every moment, Haridas Thakur, you are bathing in every holy river. You are worshipping in every holy place of pilgrimage. At every minute and every moment, you are scrutinizingly reading, studying, and chanting all the Vedic hymns and all the Vedic scriptures. You are performing every type of sacrifice. He said, you are executing the highest brahminical duties at every moment. Why? Because at all times you are chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And every single type of spiritual activity and religious dharma is included within the chanting of the holy name. And he quoted this shloka, Lord Kapila Dev, who says, one whose tongue is decorated with the sincere chanting of Krishna's name, that person is understood to have already performed every type of sacrifice, every type of purification. He's gone to all holy places. He's bathed in all holy rivers and lakes. He's studied and assimilated all the Vedic scriptures. He is to be honored and respected higher than the highest of Brahmins. Even if he is swapacha, even if he is an untouchable dog eater, he is the most exalted person in creation if he is sincerely chanting the holy name, because all spiritual performances are included within the two syllables, Krishna. Therefore, it is said that in this age of Kali Yuga, that those who have good intelligence, they know that the supreme sacrifice of all sacrifice, the supreme austerity that anyone can perform, is to humbly call out Krishna's names. The path of bhakti is so powerful that yogis who go to the Himalayas for their whole life and practice strict celibacy, fasting, breathing only air for one's nourishment, sitting in fixed concentration. Even if a person has a wife, a children, a job, but if that person sincerely comes together with the Vaishnavas and attentively, regularly, chants the holy name in this attitude of proper service, that person will advance more spiritually, will come closer to loving God in this life than even these great, great tapasis and sadhus torturing their bodies for a little bit of realization. This is not just opinion. This is the absolute version of all acharyas and all the shastras.
Tasya sankirtanam vishnur jagan mangalamang hasam mahatam apikoravya vidyay kantikra niskritam.
That the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the supreme auspicious sacrifice in this age. That whatever situation you are in, when the name of God is called out, that situation becomes all auspicious. A few days ago there was lunar eclipse. So one scientist in the newspaper said, lunar eclipse? There's nothing more to it that the earth is getting in, becoming a shadow over the sun and it is casting its shadow over the moon. Other than that, there's nothing. All these ideas that it has any effect on the mind or on the senses or in our lives, it's all superstition. Mm-hmm. What does such a person know? Anyone can see how the movements of the planets affect the earth. When the full moon comes, there's a high tide. It affects the entire ocean, the movements of the moon. Huh? Isn't that true? We can see that. The largest thing in the world is the oceans. And all the oceans are tremendously affected by the movements of the moon. And they say, oh, that's due to gravitational forces. Or whatever the external reason. The influence of planets has a tremendous influence on our minds and on our lives. Crazy people are called lunatics. Not out of superstition. I was speaking to a policeman in New York once, and he told me that factually, the major portion, percentage, of rapes, crimes, and murders are on full moon nights. He said in every city in the world. Especially here, he said, in New York. We know there's going to be all crazy things on full moons. Because people's minds are affected. So a lunar eclipse is considered to be very inauspicious. But for a devotee, nothing is inauspicious. Because when you chant the holy names, when you engage in japa, bhajan, or sankirtan especially, everything becomes completely auspicious. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the surrounding, the karmakandis, they take very seriously astrology and all of these things because they think this is auspicious, this is inauspicious. This is the right time, this is not the right time. Our Guru Parampara, they say, if you're not chanting the holy names, you better follow those things. But if you're chanting the holy names, don't even worry about it. It's all nonsense. It's nothing but nonsense. It's all material. If we're too much attached to these things, what does it mean? We do not have faith in the auspicious supreme blessing of Krishna's name. If you're not surrendering to Krishna's name, then yes, you are under the influence of all these things. But if you are, it has no effect. It cannot. During the lunar eclipse, because everyone was chanting the holy names, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, appeared at that time. The fact is, in any condition, it becomes auspicious when we remember the Lord. Tasya sankirtanam vishnur jagan mangalamang hasam mahatam api koravya vidyaikantikra niskritam.
that the invocation of a devotee chanting the holy name with a humble heart creates complete auspiciousness and removes all sins, removes all karma, good and bad. That is the power of Krishna's name. And what is the real beginning of our spiritual life? When we develop faith in the name and we take shelter of the holy name, we don't have to take shelter of any other ideas or conceptions. We have complete faith in Krishna's name. Kalyana dosani de rajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanga parambrajay. Talk about auspicious and inauspicious. This whole age of Kali Yuga is nothing but inauspicious. At the most, there's a little tiny speck of relief, and we say, oh, that's very auspicious. The age of Kali Yuga is all bad qualities. There's only one benediction. This is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. The only benediction is the name of Krishna, the name of God. Because that name of God alone one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation from all anxieties, all frustrations, and all sins. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papra pranashanam pranami dukha samanas tam namami harim param. This is the final word of all shastra. Srila Vedavyas, he first wrote the four Vedas, the Rig Veda, the Atharva Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yajur Veda. But he realized that in Kali Yuga, no one can understand in proper the flowery words of the Vedas. Therefore, he explained very deeply, philosophically, the 108 Upanishads. But he understood that most of the people who read the Upanishads, you have to have such a brilliant intelligence. The common man will never understand, and even the greatest scholars, they will not understand what is the conclusion. Then he wrote Mahabharata. And then he wrote the Vedanta Sutra. And then he wrote 17 Puranas. And he was sitting in his ashram in Badrikashram. And he still was thinking, I'm not satisfied. And Narada Muni told him, because you have not, all of these great literatures is mixing. You are speaking of the highest goal of life, no doubt, in all of them. But you are mixing them with so many sub-religious principles. Artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. You have not given any scripture which is unadulterated and pure, only upasana kanda, the highest principles of love. Therefore, you should write that. And therefore, Vedavyas wrote, the Vedanta Sutra is the summary study of all the Vedas. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, as instructed by Narada, is the commentary of that Vedanta Sutra. Paramahamsa Samhita, Amalam Puranam, only deals with pure, intense realization of divine love. Srimad Bhagavatam was the last writing of Vedavyas and the last sloka. The exclamation point at the very end of all of his writings was this verse. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dhukha samanas tam namami harim param. That by coming together and congregationally chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna, all sins are removed from our heart. All inauspiciousness is destroyed within the atmosphere. And the supreme, most auspicious mercy of the Absolute Personality of Godhead takes control. By offering obeisances in humility, Only by being humble and offering obeisances to the Lord and his devotees in an attitude of service, he explains, can we properly chant the holy names and attain this effect. We find so many different classes of people are chanting God's names, but why it appears there's not much effect. Because unless there is humility, unless there is a feeling that I am the eternal servant of the Lord, let me be your servant, unless we're chanting in that state of mind, the benefits of the holy name remain hidden. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Trinarapi sunuchena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who is striving to become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others and expect nothing in return except service. Such a person can chant the name of the Lord constantly. What do we hope to gain by serving the Lord and his devotees? The greatest, most priceless treasure, more service. That is the attitude of a devotee. The flames of hell. If he can help someone come closer to God there, this is service. This is a very advanced platform. This cannot be artificially imitated. Therefore, the great acharyas very much forbid anyone to just remove himself from society, to go in seclusion and think that they can just sit there and chant Harinam. We follow the regulative principles. We chant 2 hours, 16 rounds every day. We come and we associate with Vaishnav sadhus. We worship the deity. We learn how to be humble servants in a humble state of mind. You will get millions of times more benefit in that process than going to Vrindavan or going to Badrik Ashram and sitting in seclusion in a cave chanting. Because one mantra in a humble service attitude chanting will have greater effect than billions of mantras without that. And this is the purpose of our Radha Gopinath temple here in Chopati, Bombay. None of us are very great. None of us are very empowered. But Guru Maharaj and Krishna, Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya, their mercy is here. And when we come together with love and trust for one another, to chant the names, to serve each other, to help each other, then Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, their complete mercy will come into our lives and rescue us from all the inflictions of Maya. There is nothing greater. There is nothing else to aspire for in our life. than to do our duties in this world with honor, with honesty, with humility, to offer the fruits of our actions at the feet of Krishna and his devotees. And what? Why are we doing these things? To wake up every morning, to take bath, to chant the holy names, to read the scriptures. But what are we doing these things for? So that when we come on Sundays or on any day to join with the Vaishnavas together as one big, wonderful spiritual family, that all of the divine gifts of God that has come through our sadhana and through our occupational duties throughout the week, that they all come together and they are all combined and offered and shared as we chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We are coming to the temple to be amongst each other. Together we are saying, Sri Radha Gopinath, I am yours. Whatever I have done, whatever I am doing, whatever I will do is for you. I am offering, sacrificing my life at your lotus feet. This is the consciousness. And we should be thinking, myself alone, what do I have to offer my Lord but my own dirty heart? But in the association of all these great souls who are so sincere, by their mercy, I am getting the chance to offer my life in your loving service. This should be our mentality as we are chanting and dancing together. It is not for our enjoyment. Our enthusiasm, we want all the Vaishnavas to enjoy the kirtan. And we want to be a part of that for their pleasure, for their service. And ultimately, to the degree Krishna sees everyone united in their hearts, chanting together, Radha and Krishna, Sri Radharani looks upon us and thinks, oh, how nice. Krishna, please accept them. See how they are dancing so nicely for you. See how they are chanting so nicely for you. See how they are so anxious to serve one another for you. Thakurji, Shyam Sundar, please accept them. That is what is happening. When Sri Radharani, her hands are like this. She is offering us to Krishna. That is why for us, in this mudra of Sri Radharani, in this pose, we are most pleased. She is offering our service and our love to the Lord. Because we have accepted the position of servant of the servant of the servant. And the spiritual master, he is teaching us this way. Through his grace only can we all come together to develop love of God. By his grace only can we learn the proper method of creating the supreme most auspicious condition of the world by Harinam Kirtan. So right now in India, there are so many problems. So much conflict, so much chaos, so much hatred. But not only in India, the whole world. Sometimes it breaks out here, sometimes it breaks out there. But the hearts are filled with this distrust and hypocrisy. Huh? What's happening now is just a manifestation of what's throughout the world. No political decisions is going to solve the problem. The parliament cannot make a law that is going to solve the chaotic conditions within the hearts and in the lives of the people of this world. Whether it is the Indian Parliament or the British Parliament or the Congress of the United States or the United Nations, this age is an inauspicious age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There is only one remedy.
people have to learn to be humble servants and come together to chant the holy names in that spirit, then that vibration can create supreme auspiciousness throughout the world.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare.
Therefore, devotees are not on this side or that side. We are not for or against anything. We're too busy chanting Hare Krishna to put our minds in these things, because we know it is the only salvation. It is the only solution. It is the only hope. Therefore, Guru Maharaj would always say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. So after Lord Chaitanya praised Haridas Thakur in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally brought him to a nice little hut in a very quiet place. And he said, you stay here and you chant. And although you're too humble to come to Jagannath Temple every day, I will promise you that every day I will go to Jagannath Temple, I will get the Mahaprasad, and I will personally deliver it to you. This is the nature of Krishna's love for someone who is sincerely chanting his name. He becomes the humble servant of such a humble servant. And every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come in the morning to Haridas. Although because the priests of the temple would not allow him in because he was from an untouchable class, Jagannath himself would come out of the temple in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him personal darshan, to embrace him, and to give him his own prasad. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that place. And then after giving him that place, all the devotees, they have just come from all different parts. So he ran to make sure they were all getting nice prasad, and with his own hands he was serving each devotee. And the devotees were all like this. And Mahaprabhu was saying, why don't you start eating? Because you are our Lord, we cannot eat before you. You cannot eat before the Supreme. You must first take prasad. When a superior person is present, we should never take prasad before him, unless he tells us to. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. He was serving, and Swarup Damodar said, they will not take until you take. Please, you come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was taking prasad only as a service to all of them, so they would feel comfortable taking prasad. Whatever the Lord does is out of love and service to his devotees. But before taking his prasad, he did one thing. See the Lord's heart. Everybody, he served everybody prasad with his own hands. And then just before taking his own, he called his servant Govinda. He said, Govinda, I have just collected some Mahaprasad. Go deliver this to Haridas Thakur. He's in his hut. He was thinking of his devotee. And after making sure Haridas, who was living some distance away, had his nice prasad, then the Lord would take for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam toham, maram yati na janati naham tebyo managapi. Lord Sri Narayan has said that my devotee is always thinking of me, therefore I am always thinking of my devotee. My devotee has given up everything for me, therefore I am willing to give up everything for my devotee. I am always present within my devotee's heart. Therefore, my devotee is always present within the core of my heart. This is bhakti. This is the result of learning how to be the humble servant of the Lord. How to associate with such humble servants of the Lord is the means of attaining that qualification yourself. And in their company,